Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today at the Almirall's 2011 Results Conference Call and Webcast. Joining us this morning, we have Eduardo Sánchez, Chief Executive Officer; Daniel Martínez, Chief Financial Officer; Bertil Lindmark, Chief Scientific Officer; and Luciano Conde, Chief Operating Officer. The event will start with a presentation that will be followed by a Q&A session. I now hand over to the CEO, Eduardo Sánchez, for the opening remarks.
Okay, thank you, Jordi, and good morning, everyone. Let me start by summarizing the highlights of 2011 and by pointing to four key areas. First and foremost, the pipeline progress. 2011 has been a historical year for Almirall, with the important filing of our major pipeline products, that is, Clinion in the U.S. and Europe, and linaclotide in Europe. Second, cost discipline. Our continued cost focus is delivering gross margin improvement and substantially lower SG&A in the face of a very difficult operating environment. Our production concentration plan has been completed as planned, and our dilutive toll manufacturing business has been discontinued again as planned. Third, very relevant business development achievements. The licensing out of Clinion in Japan and Avastin in China and other Southeast Asia territories has been important. We have also incorporated to our portfolio roflumilast in Spain and escitalopram in Italy. Last but not least, new product launches that have added nearly 50 million euros in sales in 2011, and this is driving the rejuvenation of our portfolio ahead of the Clinion and linaclotide opportunities. Before handing over to Daniel, let me pinpoint Almirall's positive momentum at the start of 2012. The Clinion partnership in Europe is progressing well in the discussions, and our objective is to conclude this project in the short term. Also, as you are well aware, our main filings are advancing as planned, being the latest event, the FDA's advisory committee positive voting last week, which Bertil will briefly comment later. Still on Clinion bromide, we have recently announced an out-license to Daewon in Korea. Also, in recent days, we have started a new regulatory wave with Sativex in 10 new European countries. Lastly, we have announced the co-promotion agreement with Bayer for Xarelto in Spain. We are pleased with the way 2012 has begun for Almirall. Now, to discuss the 2011 results in more detail, I will hand over to Daniel.
Thank you, Eduardo, and good morning, everyone. This is an overview of our full-year results 2011. Financial results were in line with our targets and the guidance. I believe it's highly remarkable the fact that we have been able to improve our gross margins in a very tough environment. We have been also successful at maintaining cost discipline, top priority, and declining for a third year in a row. We also keep a very solid balanced position with intact leverage capacity. Free cash flow remains in good shape, and our strong financial fundamentals continue, allowing us to face the short and mid-term agenda without financial constraints. The board has agreed to make a dividend proposal to the annual meeting in May of 0.18. Shareholders will have the opportunity to take cash or shares. Moving to the P&L highlights, sales have eroded as expected, reflecting the impact of the Spanish reforms and generic competition in some products. Important to mention that our international business continues to grow and that now accounts for 50% of our total sales. As commented by Eduardo, gross margin has significantly improved by 20 basis points in a challenging environment. This is related to the mix of sales, but also to the finalization of the manufacturing concentration project and the end of the dilutive toll manufacturing activities. Targeted savings of 7 million euros for the year have been achieved, and R&D has reached a similar level than in 2010, mainly driven by the start of the phase III of Clinion plus formoterol. Normalized net income is within the guidance previously provided. A short comment on our balance sheet. It remains very solid and in a debt-neutral position. Collection and inventory days remain quite stable in a very challenging environment, and we have significantly improved our days payables outstanding. As of December 31st, equity represented 58% of our total assets. Our intact leverage capacity provided us with a strong strategic flexibility going forward. Moving on to cash flow, we maintained solid cash flow generation despite a substantially lower profit before taxes. Investing activities have been quite lower than last year, and all things considered, free cash flow remains in healthy levels. Important to mention the debt repayment done over the period of €90 million. Please bear in mind that our current calendar of financial debt phases out at the end of 2012. So, wrapping up, results in line with expectations, solid financial fundamentals, and a steady cash flow generation. Thank you. I now hand over to Bert.
Thank you, Daniel. Good morning, everyone. As Eduardo mentioned, we are progressing well in the regulatory process with both Aclidinium and Linaclotide. We recently had a positive voting of the FDA's panel for Aclidinium, and we look forward to the PDUFA day next quarter. In Europe, the 120-day period has been completed, and the EU process for Linaclotide is also on track. We're moving now to some granularity on the paddock voting. As you know, last Thursday, the Pulmonary Allergy Drugs Advisory Committee, PADAC, voted 12-2 in favor of approving Aclidinium bromide for the maintenance treatment of COPD. The committee was also asked to separately evaluate if efficacy and safety 400 microgram twice daily dose had been adequately demonstrated. The members voted unanimously in favor of efficacy, and 10-3, one member abstained in favor of safety. These recommendations, although not binding, will be considered by the FDA as it completes its review of the NDA for Aclidinium bromide. Forest and Almirall anticipate receiving FDA feedback on the filing in the second quarter of the calendar year 2012. And now some highlights and updates on our late-stage pipeline. This is a snapshot of the current status. Three projects, led by Aclidinium bromide and Linaclotide, are in approval phase, and we expect feedback during 2012. Our Aclidinium plus formoterol combo, Sativex in oncological pain, and a proprietary derma compound for non-melanoma skin cancer are in phase 3. They are also followed by two derma products in phase 2 and the Abiraterol LABA compound. The key takeaway from our pipeline is the breadth of our respiratory portfolio and an emerging dermatology portfolio. Let me now hand over to Luciano.
Thank you, Bertil. Good morning to all the attendants. We believe that Aclidinium will have a clear place in treatment of the COPD. Aclidinium bromide offers to patients fast and consistent bronchodilation, around-the-clock symptoms control with placebo-like tolerability. Aclidinium is comparable to tiotropium in key efficacy parameters, but will provide patients additional benefits such as symptoms improvements in the second half of the day, placebo-like anticholinergic side effects, and a simple, practical, patient-preferred, easy-to-use device. The clear differentiation of Aclidinium has benefited us in the partnering discussions, and we look forward to the completion of our partnership agreements. We expect to announce a partnership for Europe in the coming weeks. Almirall's respiratory franchise would cover monotherapy and combination therapy, offering physicians a range of treatment options for COPD. Linaclotide may become the first product ever approved by EMA for inflammatory bowel syndrome with constipation. Its unique mechanism of action, it acts locally in the gastrointestinal tract and is minimally absorbed, offers low potential for systemic adverse events. This first-in-class compound was licensed in by Almirall from Ironwood Pharmaceuticals. We hold rights for all European territories plus Turkey. Almirall is preparing for these two opportunities. We are sizing up capabilities in key European Union geographies. We are doing it in a stepwise approach, linking the operational expansion with the risk in regulatory triggers. At the same time, we are implementing all the pre-launch and market access initiatives and activities. But we have much more to offer. We have other platforms to help us grow, Sativex and our dermatology franchise. Sativex, for the treatment of spasticity in multiple sclerosis patients, is being rolled out across Europe. We expect four additional launches in Europe during 2012, and we anticipate the product to become one of the top 15 products of Almirall. Sativex is also in phase 3 for oncological pain, an indication with higher potential than spasticity. Almirall is also a leading player in dermatology in Europe. We currently rank number 8th, being the number one dermatological company in such an important market in Germany. Derma is a strategic franchise for Almirall. It represents now 15% of our turnover. It is our third therapeutic category and has a positive evolution. All in all, we have significant expectations from our own derma pipeline, as commented earlier by Bertil. Zooming into Sativex, the medicine is now available in Spain, Germany, and Denmark, and we have scheduled launches in other countries in 2012, Sweden, Italy, Austria, and Czech Republic. As we speak, we have initiated a new wave of regulatory submission in 10 additional countries in Europe. The product is moving forward to become a real option to treat the patients with multiple sclerosis spasticity across Europe. We have 6 products introduced recently, which are now helping us to rejuvenate our portfolio. These products have contributed nearly 50 million euros in 2011, and this growing trend will enlarge further in the forthcoming quarters. I would like to call your attention that the co-promotion agreements are not reflected in these figures. Combriza, Bacedoxifer, Libertec, Flumilas, and the escitalopram agreement for Italy are booked in the other income line. And with these remarks, let me hand over to Eduardo for the final keynote.
Okay, thank you, Luciano. We reiterate the midterm outlook that we provided last quarter. So that means that we expect sales in 2012 to follow similar trends as in 2011. Also, the high 20s decline in normalized net income seen in 2011 could be less severe in 2012. On the back of new launches, we expect that revenues will accelerate sharply in 2013 and 14. Given that operational profit is sensitive, as you know, to increased commercial investment and sustained R&D efforts, we expect a lag effect on profitability in 2013 and hopefully substantial profit growth from 2014. Other key takeaways looking forward are the following. Internationalization continues at the top of our strategic priorities. Our forecasts indicate that by 2014, we will generate more than 70% of sales outside our home country. On the back of Aclinion and Linaclotide launches, we expect a sales compounded growth rate between 2012 and 14 of double digit. And finally, to wrap up, and before opening the Q&A session, let me go back to some of the verbatims I was sharing at the very beginning. I commented the good momentum of our company in 2012. I have also tackled the latest agreements and the fact that the most relevant regulatory processes are making good progress. In the next few months, we expect to provide high-density news flow and catalysts that we trust will reinforce the long-term potential of these unique opportunities. We expect to conclude in the short term the Aclidinium partnership agreement in Europe. In Q2, the PDUFA day will provide a strong regulatory feedback by the FDA. And finally, later in the year, we expect the regulatory feedback in the EU, both for Aclidinium and Linaclotide. So we feel prudently confident and certainly excited about what 2012 can bring to our company. And having said all that, let's now open the session for your questions.
Okay, thank you very much to all. Operator, back to you for Q&A, please.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, that's star and one if you wish to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Peter Welford from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my questions. Let me start off with two. They're both financial. Just looking, first of all, at the midterm outlook for 2013-14, I just wanted to ask a bit of point of clarity, really. You say revenues will accelerate sharply. Should we infer from this that you're talking revenues including other operating income, i.e. the royalties and co-promotion agreements, or are we talking about sales to accelerate sharply during 2013 and 14? And then the second financial question is with regard to dividends. Have you set yourself a sort of floor dividend or payout ratio given the trends you're talking about in normalized net income? Or should we anticipate the dividends to follow the sort of trajectory you're talking about for normalized net income over the next few years? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This is Daniel speaking. About the first question regarding the guidance, we always have been talking about level of sales. So not the total income. So always we are referring to the net sales, and this is the trend that we foresee for 2013 and 14. As you know, other income includes other concepts, sometimes quite volatile, and therefore we are only giving guidance about our net sales as a company. Regarding the dividend, and following the law also in Spain, the dividends are always referred to the net income of the company, not to the normalized net income of the company. I hope this helps.
Yeah, could I just follow up on the revenue? Are you assuming then, when you say revenues to accelerate sharply, are you incorporating in that outlook a European partnership for Eclira? Because presumably then a lot of the Eclira monies, for example, will be booked obviously in other operating income. So this is really going to be from the current portfolio that we'll see this acceleration.
Of course, we're including the sales that we will be having to the markets through this partner, but other upfronts or milestones, they are booked as other income, never in the net sales.
And it also depends, this is Eduardo, it also depends on the structure of the agreement, which may vary from country to country, whether it is co-marketing, co-promotion, etc. So, again, it varies by country depending on the structure. Let me also add something to what Daniel said on the dividend. We at this point want to stick to our stated dividend policy of 35% to 40% of net income. I think that we will operate within that band, taking also into consideration the cash needs of the company, as considered by the board, in the sense of ensuring that we have appropriate cash to also fund the key priorities of the company that may help to provide revenues and profits in the long term. And that's why for this year, the board recently made a proposal or approved a proposal to be passed to the Annual General Assembly along the lines of what we have been mentioning this morning, based on a 35% dividend, 35% on net income, and with a kind of creative formula that may allow for different kind of payouts to different kind of shareholders depending on the desires of the shareholders.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Joe Walton from London. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Given the uncertainty over how you will be booking the initial Aclidinium sales, because we don't yet understand how that deal will be structured across Europe, can you give us some help of what you think the underlying in-market sales of Aclidinium could do in, let's say, the second or the third year? Can you also tell us, please, a little bit more about the SG&A outlook going forwards? You only have 2,500-odd people. That's a very small organization to launch potentially two very big products in linaclotide and Aclidinium. We've seen other companies tell us about increased investment in initial launches. So I wonder if you could give us some more help on how you see the SG&A developing in 2012 and 2013.
Yeah, Joe, let me take that question. I think that I would propose that we postpone the details on that question until we basically come forward with the sort of partnership agreement that we may have with a third party. And as I said earlier, that should come in the short term. I think that, as you can expect, obviously, SG&A will increase as we need to basically step up our efforts to maximize the potential of the new products. Yet, we want to do that in a prudent way that will not create financial indigestion in the short term. That's what we are talking about, the partnership and other kind of arrangements that we have that potentially may generate an OPEX investment that still will be digestible on the part of the company. So again, sorry we cannot be more specific right now, but I think that this is a relevant question that hopefully we'll be in a better position to provide details probably by next quarter.
Could you also give us, please, you in the past you told us that the SG&A we could think of in 2012 similar to a level in 2009, and in 2009 it was about €390 million. I don't know whether that is still a reasonable sort of working figure. Could you also tell us whether you're still on track for a €25 million saving and restructuring going forward? You targeted €7 million last year and you got that. And finally, can you give us a little bit of help on the cash flow in terms of how we should be looking at your working capital commitments as you go into this launch phase? Is that going to be an area where we should expect a fair amount of cash to be sucked up through 2012?
Hi, Joe. This is Daniel speaking. Regarding sales and G&A, well, as you know, we have never disclosed the evolution of the sales and G&A, but what we were anticipating in the last quarter is that for a fourth consecutive year, we expect to continue declining the organic sales and G&A because we have been putting a lot of measures to reduce our organic sales and G&A expenditure. However, because of the combination of the two launches, we were anticipating that we will be heavily investing on sales and G&A to be successfully launching both products. So this is why you may expect a certain increase of sales and G&A, but mainly driven by the launch of the products. And this is why in the next 1 year and a half, 2 years, you may expect this kind of trend. About working capital, again, as Eduardo said, obviously depending on the final agreement with the partner, we may have certain structures on working capital. But what is also true is that still we foresee a free cash generation in the company. And let me tell you that despite of the tough situation in the industry, as well as specifically in Spain, we have a very healthy KPIs on working capital, specifically in collection terms. Remember that our collection terms as a group, it's around only 38, 39 days, and with not overdues or significant overdues in our balance sheet. Therefore, we have a lot of room to manage our working capital in the next 2-3 years.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Ana Gonzalez from Bankia Bolsa. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello and good morning to everybody. I have several questions. First of all, if you could clarify us a little bit more regarding the provision you have done this year of around 13,000 million in your P&L. And my second question goes on the down payments that you have already with Clira and all the aplidinium bromide. So you are still about to receive 90 million euros. Could we expect like around a third of this income to be incurred during this year? And regarding the down payment or milestones that you have to pay to Ironwood this year, also linaclotide, which figures could we expect for the year? And in case, would the trade-off of both down payments, positive and negative, would be either positive for this year P&L? And that's it. Thank you.
Well, let me see. This is Daniel speaking. Let me see if I'm able to follow some of your questions. I think that when you were asking about a provision, I think that you were referring to certain impairment provisions we accrued in our P&L, around 7 million euros. Am I right?
Yeah, but there's a larger amount because we saw the net normalized net profit came in line with what we were expecting, and there were around 30 million impacts. That could be maybe linked to this provision or some impairments, additional impairments that we didn't expect.
Well, what we recognize in our P&L was basically 7 million euros regarding certain impairments because every year we are obviously reviewing our portfolio, and we already announced, because this came from Q3, we already announced that it was related to certain derma projects we finally decided to delist from our pipeline. So this is mostly related to this impairment reversal. The other provisions we made were regarding certain restructuring costs because we did certain restructuring activities in Spain after the Royal Decree implementation in September. I think that this relates to the first question. Frankly speaking, I was not able to catch up your question about the down payments. Could you repeat again, please?
Sure. If I remember well, you are still missing around $19 million of down payments linked to forest agreement for aplidinium bromide. If we would expect a third of these revenues to be linked to just a clear approval, which we do expect for mid this year, we should, of course, expect a positive impact in your EP&L for the coming year as other income, right? But at the same time, you have the approval of linaclotide that will be also approved by mid this year. So we should also expect anyhow a down payment for Ironwood. Anyway, the net of the trade-off of these two inputs, the positive from Eclira and the negative one for linaclotide, would it still be positive regarding your other income statement? Could we expect a positive amount to be imputed as other income for the year?
Thank you. Thank you for repeating the question because it was difficult to me to follow. Just two comments. First, regarding Eclida, all the upfronts that you're referring obviously are regarding to both, the mono and the combo. We have never disclosed. We have never disclosed the scheme of our agreements, but what I can tell you is that all these scenarios are included in the guidance that Eduardo was anticipating just a few minutes ago. Regarding linaclotide, remember that any down payment that we may have, that we may give to them if proceed based on the scheme that, again, we have not disclosed it, this is not impacting our P&L because following the IFRS, this is booked in the assets and in the balance sheet.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Jamie Clark from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I've got two questions, please. Firstly, is it fair to assume that given the FDA was willing and ready to go to an advisory committee to look at safety and efficacy, they're satisfied with the device you're using for US approval? And secondly, on the European filing, I think you said that the day 120 procedure has been completed. Can you just remind me what the remaining procedures are for European approval? Thanks.
Okay, regarding the device, I think we're still in the regulatory process in both in Europe and the USA, and obviously we haven't given any specific comments on the detailed status of where we are. But we feel confident that the device is good and the data we present are strong. So at this point in time, we have no signals of any impairment in that front. Your second question, I didn't quite follow. Please repeat.
I think you said that you'd completed the day 120 procedure in Europe. If you can just remind me what the remaining procedures are. After day 120, does the EMA come back to you with questions which you then respond to?
CHMP will have a review period, and then there is a sort of discussion, question and answers period as well before the final vote in the CHMP, and then later on an approval in Europe. But we haven't given the exact dates on this, but obviously we are anticipating that we get the most important questions during the next half year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Jo Walton. Please go ahead.
I wonder if you could help us on the tax rate for 2012, given that you ended up with a tax credit in 2011. And if you could help us in the cash flow, splitting out the investment that you made in, you know, property, plant and equipment and the investment that you made in intangible assets. I'm assuming that the intangible asset investment will go up substantially in 2012 because that's where we'll find the linaclotide payment going out. But just to give us a sense of what you've been investing in so far, presumably that would include, would it, upfront for payments on things like co-promotion for Xarelto?
Hi, Joe. This is Daniel again. Regarding the tax rate, the tax rate calculation in Spain follows a very complicated process, but I will try to summarize it. So basically, the low effective tax rate we have this year is because of the combination of the two effects. The first effect, remember that we have certain R&D tax deductions in Spain because of the high investment we have on R&D, which allows us to have certain tax deductions on the total profit before taxes. What has happened is the combination of the lower sales decline driven less profits plus together the tax, the R&D, the high investment, we have been able to deduct following the legislation in Spain higher R&D expenditure than other years. But in any case, let me tell you something, because this is something that when we were giving the guidance for 2011, as well as when Eduardo was now giving the guidance for 2013 and 14, we are properly projecting our sales evolution as well as our R&D evolution, and therefore any variation on the effective tax rate is also contemplated in this normalized income guidance that Eduardo provided to you. About the cash flow evolution in investment lines, as you said, well, this line is quite volatile because obviously depends not only on linaclotide or Eclida, etc. That also depends on our activity on corporate development. So any new licensing in acquisition we may have, obviously this will impact in this line. So yes, this line contemplates the organic CapEx and investment we have every year in our factories and in our R&D centers, but also this can change depending on linaclotide events, but also other corporate development events.
And can I ask three very quick product-related questions? In the fourth quarter, we saw a substantial reduction, clearly, in Prevacor, the escitalopram, and the lansoprazole products. Are the fourth quarter sales representative of the ongoing quarters that we should expect in 2012, or is there still further declines to come in 2012 on top of 2011?
Well, hi, Joy. This is Luciano Conde. Obviously, what we are seeing in the fourth quarter of 2011, is representative of what we expect to happen in the year 2012. However, you have to remember that we will be comparing uneven situations during the year, because as you remember, during the first half of 2011, there were certain circumstances in prices and in actions and in the law of generic substitution that were not yet there, and that has had full effect in the second part of the year, particularly in the fourth quarter of 2011. Therefore, we will be comparing an even price and substitution situation for this kind of products. So this is, I think, what I can tell. Yeah.
But in the fourth quarter, everything bad that was going to happen has happened, and those are representative quarters. So what we saw in the fourth quarter for Prevacor is a good guide to what we'll see in each of the four quarters for 2012, or will there be a further decline in 2012? It's because the system has changed, I'm not clear how quickly the sales go down. In the past, you used to see a gradual decline. Now we've seen a very marked decline. The question is whether that's the complete story or whether we've got further declines to come in 2012.
I think that probably what we have seen in Q4 can be a good representation of what we may see thereafter. And there are two effects that are coming together in the fourth quarter, which has accelerated the downward trend that we have seen in the past in Spain. One of them, obviously, is the price decrease. That's already built in, so it's there. And the other thing is the element or the restrictions put in place by the regional autonomies across the country that are also, I would say, creating some challenges to volume growth of innovative products. And that also, as far as we know, was implemented and moved during Q4. So I think that probably what we see in the fourth quarter could be a valid representation of what we may see in Spain during 2012.
And are there any changes in reference prices as we enter 2012 that will be changing the trajectory of any of the other products, so that there are other things we should be concerned about?
Well, Joe, as you know, the law authorized the Spanish authorities to make revisions of the prices of the products once a year based upon a basket, what it is called the Grupo Homogéneo. So as the last time that this was done was, I think, as July, they could have another revision towards the mid-2012. However, you have to remember that the impact on us will be relatively small, because in absolute price reduction, because we are now today at the price of the generics. So let's say the difference is marginal between one generic and another.
As far as I know, our team has built into the numbers that we have for 2012 all these kind of elements. So unless there are new developments in Spain or in another country that eventually changes the status quo, basically what we have been proposing is in line with what we knew as of the end of last quarter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Samir Devani from Nomura Code. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I've just got a couple. Firstly, just a clarification. You mentioned on Sativex that you expected it to be a top 15 product. I just wanted to check that that was a top 15 product in 2012. And then the second question is just in terms of your guidance, are you assuming any further pricing measures in Spain for 2012?
This is Eduardo. Let me take your last one, and I'll let Luciano answer the one on Sativex. I think that when it comes to Spain, I mean, obviously, you know, you read news on the paper, whether about Spain or other European countries, in the face of these economic uncertainties that we live through right now. And again, there are from time to time comments about potential additional price cuts or whatever. So, I mean, at this point, this is all speculative. I think that in Spain, a tremendous amount of effort has been done to basically curtail the growth in healthcare expenses. We have seen the market declining very significantly in Spain in 2011, and we anticipate the same thing going on in 2012. So again, it's hard to imagine that beyond absorbing the impact of three royal decrees in 18 months, the industry can take much more, particularly also when you add on top of that the significant issue of collecting receivables on the part of many companies in Spain, particularly those selling into the hospital segment, which is not our case, but definitely is also hurting altogether the pharmaceutical companies operating in Spain. So I think that a lot of effort is going on right now to prevent any additional actions. We have not contemplated any additional actions in the numbers that we have provided, and you know, we keep our fingers crossed, but it's more than that. Again, we continue to exercise efforts across the industry association to make sure that all decision makers are fully acquainted and aware of the very significant impact that this industry has experienced over the last 2 years. When it comes to Sativex?
Yeah, regarding Sativex, you have to, yes, we stated that towards the end of the 2012, we expect Sativex to be among the top 15 products of the company. You have to be aware that we have launched the product in Spain and Germany, and if we introduce the product in Italy as we expect, then we will have the product marketed in three of our top geographies. So this would obviously have a significant effect in our revenues for these products. At the same time, we are introducing the product in the Nordic countries, and for epidemiological reasons, the Nordic countries have a higher incidence than other southern countries. So we believe that Sativex has a very interesting prospect for us in 2012, and obviously beyond that, as we roll out the 10 further countries that we are now registering the product in.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. That's star one to ask a question. We seem to have no further questions from the phone lines. Please continue.
Okay, thank you very much, operator. This concludes our event today. Thank you to all participants for your interest in Almirall, and have a nice day.